And my father got me a gift. And he got me this thing that all the kids were getting in those days. And it was this little Game Boy, a little handheld video game thing that you got. It was black and white, and you could play Tetris on it or something like that. And not like the games these guys have these days, but Joe probably remembers the old Game Boy, right? And we took it to school, and everybody was pretty excited to have one. And one day, I brought mine in, and I don't think my dad really wanted me to take it to school. But I did, because all the other kids were taking it to school. And at the end of the day, I went to my backpack, and I opened it up, and it was gone. Yeah, it was gone. So I went to my teacher. I said, teacher, my Game Boy's gone. And I think Billy over there has it. Now, this boy's name was not Billy. I'm trying to hide his identity. Okay? And it was not Derek Baker either. So he was in my class, but it was not him either. So, but there, I said, it was Billy, I think he took. And so he went over and I said, my dad bought that for me. And so the teacher went over and talked to Billy and said, you know, is that, no, my parents bought this for me. So I went home and I was devastated because my dad's gift had been stolen right out of my backpack. And then I knew that Billy had taken it. I went home and I said, Dad, my Game Boy, it was stolen. And I think my dad said something like, well, I told you you shouldn't take it to school. So, but then my dad went in to talk to the teacher. And my dad said something. He said, you know, when I got that for Scott, I put his name under the cover of it. And so they went and they said, hey, Billy, can we see that Game Boy? And they went and looked underneath it. And what do you think it said? Scott Wills. Thanks, Dad. Right? How do you think Billy felt? You know, he'd got caught red-handed. Right? And I imagine that probably the same emotion might have come over him as the same thing had come over Gehazi. And we're in 2 Kings chapter 5 this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read this last week, but I'm going to read the text again this morning. It says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So verse 21 says, so Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. So Naaman said, please take two talents. And he urged him and bowed two talents of silver in two bags with two charges of garments and handed them to two of his servants. And they carried them on ahead of him. And when he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. And then he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went and stood before his master. Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. He said to him, did not my heart go with you? When the man turned back from his chariot to meet you, is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow. Last week, we looked at some people in the Bible who had acted like Gehazi, who had seen and been a testament to the fact that God is in the business of doing great things. But they loved the world and its pleasures more than the things of God. They have seen testimony that God is good and He does good things, but they wanted the world more. This week, we're going to look at Gehazi, and we're going to say that Gehazi tells a lie as his sin grows. Not only has he coveted and he wanted what Naaman was about to offer him, but he begins to really lie and steal. We look at this guy and just we see this snowball effect of him going downhill, and one sin leads to another, which leads to another, and before you know it, he's in trouble. Gehazi does something awful. He drags the name of Yahweh in the dirt. Elisha had proven that God is good and that He has the power to transform and change lives and that He is real. And then along comes one of His servants who drags God's name in the dirt. And as I think about us, and we're here today and we're sitting in the pew, we have the potential, every single one of us, of doing the same thing. We are to be God's ambassadors here in this world. We are to see the great things that God has done and live a God-fearing and holy life before God. We shouldn't be taking the name of the Lord and dragging it in the dirt. But unfortunately, so often that happens. Naaman begins to have a conversation with Gehazi, and it says there that Naaman says, "Is all well?" And Gehazi said, "All is well." And at that moment, when he says, "Everything's all right," Gehazi became a liar. Because the next words that are going to come out of his mouth are not going to be the words of God. They're going to be the words of Gehazi's desires and his wants and the sinful things that lie in his heart. Leviticus chapter 19 makes it pretty clear. Let's open our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 19. In Leviticus chapter 19, in verse 11, it says, "You shall not steal, nor do falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." God says here, don't steal, don't lie, don't act falsely, but between the other people that you work with. You will drag my name in the mud. As believers in God, we are to do what is right. And it says here very specifically, don't steal. Don't lie. And Gehazi is just one thing leads to another, and before you know it, he's just taking the name of God and dragging it through the mud. This is an unfortunate commentary that we read here, because we find Gehazi a man that is lacking the fear of God. He was unwilling to show that God's word is important. And when God says, don't steal, you don't steal. And when God says, don't lie, you don't lie. And he knows that God has been working on Naaman's heart and in his life, and he takes advantage of that. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, it's up there on the board, but here it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." You may have been guilty of this. I know I have, and I've definitely heard people that have been guilty of this, that you begin to reason and think, and you begin to make excuses for your actions. Well, if I do this, then maybe it isn't so bad. And I've actually heard people that want to do something wrong, and they reason in their minds of, they can come up with all of these reasons why they should compromise their integrity. Don't compromise your integrity. It's not worth it. As we look at Naaman and his life, God was making a big difference. But then Gehazi began to take advantage of that. And he probably thought, well, Naaman's got all the money in the world that he could ever want, and he was going to offer it to us. So what's the big deal if maybe he gives us a little bit of that and blesses us? And he got involved with a little heavenly deception. You know, he thought that maybe God would be okay with that if he told a little lie and got a little bit for himself. Naaman didn't need it. He was already offering it. And he began to reason in his heart for why he should do what was wrong. Don't fall into that trap. A little heavenly deception is not worth it. Compromising what is good and what is right is something you'll pay for the rest of your life. We need to do right. We need to do good. It's worth it. The message that Elisha, and this is why this is so important, the message that Elisha is trying to say is salvation from God is free. And Gehazi turns around, follows Naaman down and says, oh no, it isn't. Well, we'll take just a little bit. And God's message is being corrupted. And as we think about it today, I believe in my heart, verses like Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. I believe that. I believe that there is nothing in and of my power that I can do to earn my salvation. But sometimes there are people that in living this Christian life think that they might have to do so much to earn their way to heaven. That's not true. We serve God and we do what is right because we love Him and because we follow Him. And He's our Savior. He's God and He is to be feared. And He has called us, His children, to be holy in an unholy world. And we need to make sure that we are going about that business. Gehazi then lies when he gets caught. Isn't that what happens? I don't remember. I told the story of Billy and him taking my Game Boy. And I all I can remember is being really upset. And my dad saying, I wrote your name on it. But I have no idea. I don't remember what happened other than being excited when it was found out that he had lied, and that really was my Game Boy, and I got to take it back. I that's all I remember about that day. But I've been there. I'm working with kids for years and years and years. Kids lie. And then they try to lie to cover up the lie, and then they try to lie to cover up the lie. And I've been there when I have proof that a kid has lied. And I've seen it myself. And I've watched it. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that a kid is wrong. And I confronted them on it. And they try to lie their way out of it. And all of a sudden those lies begin to catch up with them. And kids either do one of two things. They begin to talk louder. No, 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 no. Or they begin to like curl up and realize that they've been caught. Neither one is a good feeling. It's not fun for the person calling out the lie, and it's not fun for the person who is caught in the lie. You begin to argue that the end justifies the means. To begin to reason that what you're doing might have some value. That's not what God says. The prophet's job is to confront corruption, is to tell someone that what he is doing is wrong because the Word of God says that it's wrong. That's not a fun job. I can only imagine what it must be like to have been one of the prophets of Israel and to march into a king's throne room and to point a finger in the king's life and say, "Thus says the Lord, what you're doing is wrong and you are going to be punished for it." It took some bravery, took some courage. But I think that God has asked us to do the same thing today. If we see a brother or sister in Christ that is doing wrong, we have the responsibility to confront them and to tell them that they're doing wrong. And that's not easy. Truth is, the Lord hates lying, but He delights in those who are trustworthy. I chose Proverbs chapter 12 as our scripture reading this morning because it had a lot to do with talking about how we need to make sure that our mouth honors the Lord and it's telling the truth. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit." We need to make sure that we are doing what is right and we are saying what is right. Excuse me, I read the wrong verse. I wanted Proverbs 12 and verse 22. It says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight." Gehazi showed who he was a true follower of. He showed his true allegiance, that he was of the devil. I think about the life of Jesus Christ and the life that he lived. When he came to this world, he was here to confront the devil and to confront sin and to take it head on. And the Pharisees always had something to say against him. And they, just like Gehazi, just like a sinner, tried to reason and argue in themselves that what they were doing was right and that their motives were just when their motives were wrong. And they stood against God in John chapter 8 and verse 44 is one of the many times that the arguments were beginning to flare. And they were fighting and they were arguing. And Jesus says in John 8:44, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desire of your father, you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and a murderer and the father of it." Gehazi, in 2 Kings chapter 5, was showing who he truly belonged to. He was a servant of the devil because he was a liar. First thing that we see in this world when we think about doing what is wrong is when the devil lies to Eve. Tries to deceive her. And he began to murder mankind. First sin is the responsibility of Adam, who did what he wasn't supposed to when he took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But ever since then, the devil has been trying to get deception to be a part of this world. And he's still trying to deceive man's hearts. And he's trying to convince us that we can be deceptive. We need to make sure that we understand that our lies will catch up with us. They caught up with Gehazi. God knew the truth. He still knows the truth. He is the author of the truth. And when we're lying, we need to own up to it. We need to take care of it. We need to do business with God and make sure that we purge our life from lies. We will all be tested. Tested in our jobs. Tested in our purity. Tested in as we live our lives. What will we do? Will we compromise? Will we give in to the lies of the devil in the world? Will we begin to let our heart fall from a place that it's meant to be? The failures of our life must be confessed. Gehazi had been caught red-handed. Elisha called him out on what he was doing. And Elisha's and Gehazi's first thing was not to say, I was wrong, I did wrong, and I admit it, and I own up to it. But he told another lie, and another lie, to just compound the sin. We need to make sure that if we have a sin in our heart, that we confess it. And we take our responsibility. Our credibility is important. God wants us to have a right relationship with those around us. He wants us to have a relationship that and a testimony that is good and clean and pure. And I don't know why God has led us to this place today. But maybe there's somebody here that in your heart you are harboring a lie and you know it. You like Gehazi, or maybe cheating at work or cheating in your marriage or cheating on God. You're lying. You sit here today and the weight of your sin is just so much because like Gehazi, you've got to lie over here and lie over here and you're stealing it and it's weighing you down and you need to do business. Gehazi proved the fact that you could fool some of the people some of the time, but you could not fool God any of the time. It's truth. And maybe you're sitting here today and the lies that are in your life have become too much for you to bear. Maybe the person that we see every day isn't the same person that you know is there in your heart. And you're tired of it. Don't be like Gehazi. Don't leave here adding another lie to your resume. It'll just grow. It will just compound. You need to be honest, truthful to yourself and to God. Quit dragging His name through the mud, pretending to be a Christian, when you know that in your heart, it's all a lie. It's a facade for the world to see. But in here, the devil's winning. Your true allegiance is to the devil. You can't fool God. Maybe it's time to stop trying. Surrender. Do what Gehazi was unwilling to. And surrender to Him and say, God, I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of the deception. I'm tired of the sin. Jesus Christ paid a precious gift when He died on the cross so that your heart could be cleansed. You can find the truth in John chapter 17. He said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. In John chapter 1, it says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The truth will make a difference. Quit living a lie and give your heart to God. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, it's our enemy, the devil, our adversary, who desires lies to win in our heart. But Lord, you want truth to win. And Lord, today, if there's somebody here, sitting here that, Lord, they've been putting on a good face, but they've been lying to the world. They've been lying to themselves lying to their spouse. They've been caught stealing. Or maybe no one knows of the lies that they've been living. I pray that you might help them to do what Gehazi was unwilling to do, and to surrender to you. Maybe they've been involved with a little bit of heavenly deception, trying to pass themselves off as good, reasoning that what they're doing is right. But in their heart, they know that there's filth. Help them to come to the cross, to find someone, a believer, who'd be willing to stop and pray with them, and just surrender their life and their heart over to you, and to confess their sins. Be with us today. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.